Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 121, coming to you like a cheeky DM from a secret admirer.
Oi, oi.
On this week's podcast, we chat to one of the most popular Irish personalities on the OnlyFans website, Alana Pitterino.
And he doesn't have any of Mick Wallace's glitzy t-shirts, but he does have a leather jacket. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
She's desperately looking for a husband so she can pitch her idea for a program called The Real Housewives of County Meath to RTE. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as your mate slagging you for having notions if you ordered a gin and tonic in a fancy glass, we round off the podcast with our
Yorts and Darts of the Week.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, on the Celtic Tiger, Ryan emailed us. Well, lads, back in 2006, my aunt's husband managed to get his hands on a jet ski from a lad who knew a lad, kind of a job. Anyway, we were from Tullamore, and there isn't exactly a whole pile of jet ski lakes going around. So it happened that it was the time of year that the fields started flooding with water. Would you think they'd have the hand drain the fields now? Come on, Offaly. So he decided, the cowboy that he was, he'd take it out to the fields, out where the bypass is. But there was no bypass in those days. Anyway, there was 3 or 4 fields connected due to flooding being so high that him and the lads could speed around. I don't know what people thought when they were driving out the Port Leash Road, seeing a few young lads all dressed in the old construction work gear, no PPE in sight, speeding round a flooded field on a 5 grand jet ski. Anyway, as he was speeding round the field, he managed to get the underside of the jet ski stuck on a barbed wire fence. He went flying off the front of it at around 60 kilometers per hour. The jet ski was done for, and he just about got out of the field unscathed, bar a bit wet. They all had a laugh. Don't know what happened to the jet ski after. I don't think anyone cared, it being the height of the boom. And that's the most boom cowboy story I have, from Ryan in Tullamore.
Oh man, you gotta love the boom.
The boom.
Damien messages on Instagram. He said, lads, just listen to the boom podcast. My father built farm sheds in the boom, and there was an 80% grant to build agricultural sheds during the boom. Lads with 10 cows all of a sudden built sheds for 100. He had 2 Polish lads working for him. One of them would eat 6 hard-boiled eggs with sour cream for lunch. No bread. I think the key message there is no bread.
On the Polish lads.
On the vice.
80% grant.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Shit's going up over the weekend.
Martina said, I knew an auctioneer in Munster, and during the boom, he was absolutely raking in the money. He was going through cars and women like no tomorrow. I doubt he even slept much during the boom, because he was flat out making money, snorting cocaine and riding. I actually thought he'd die at some stage, but I met him out there in February and he's still alive, still the same as ever. He's still good looking and charming and flogging houses. It's honestly a miracle he's alive, but he's not quite as flash with the cash now. Man, auctioneers doing coke on the job has been the big discovery out of this boom discussion. I've gotten that one quite a bit.
Imagine going to view a house, you're going to say, yeah, there's the bathroom there now, yeah. Lovely bathroom, tile floor and marble floor. gutters. Oh, yeah, it's great.
Conservatory,
job,
give me the light. Yeah. Give me the light.
Make a deal. Another listener said, Johnny, on the pod you were talking about helicopters in the boom. I was a private jet and helicopter dealer in those days.
Absolute boom.
I actually sold a private jet to a man in Cashel and 2 helicopters in Tipperary alone. I've loads of stories relating back to that time. Pilots telling me of one developer getting a blowjob from a well-known model in the back of the heli on a flight to Mayo.
Yes!
One client's wife insisted her husband buy a helicopter that was €3 million more than the one he was buying, as the electronic step to get into the helicopter was 1.2 inches lower. One chopper was bought using a loan for farm machinery from a local branch, Bank of Ireland, in Wexford. Listen, we can't confirm that's true. A chopper was bought. You know, imagine going into bank manager. What are you buying? A combine. No bother. Is that a helicopter I hear out the back of the branch?
No.
Just give me... And it's in Wexford as well, so your man's definitely like, just give me the loan, son. Have a chopper out the back and get into there now. I'm going into town. A few resources.
Jack said, lads, in relation to the SSIA and spending, I'm now 25 and there was 5 of us in my family. When the SSIA money came up, my parents thought about spending it or saving it. In the end, we spent it. Year one was a 7-day cruise in Alaska, and year two was a 10-day holiday in the States, including New York, Miami, and a 5-day Caribbean cruise.
Oh, yeah.
God bless Charlie McCreevy. 2 years later, we had to get rid of our second car, the Fiat Punto, because everything went to shite.
Oh, it was good while it lasted. John from Swords was in touch. Well, boys, I can relate so much to the Celtic Tiger stories you mentioned. My old lad is a brickie and has probably built half of Dublin over the last 40 years. I was born in 1990, so I was a teenager for a lot of the Celtic Tiger years. My old man used to have me out working on the building site every summer from the age of 14. The safety inspector was told I was 16 and I had a safe pass. Wink, wink. I was getting £350 a week at 14 for sweeping out houses. I'm barely making that now.
At 14?
It was mad, the things that used to go on those sites. Every labourer, chippy, plumber and apprentice was driving a brand new Audi. There were more lads hiding than working. Every second house I went to clean would be locked. And when you'd peep in the window, you'd see lads playing cards. I once even found an electrician asleep in a wardrobe. We were building a huge estate in North Dublin at the time, and half the houses were already promised to the workers. Some lads owned 2 or 3 houses before they were even built. I used to go down with my old man every now and then to the bank to get the wages for his gang of lads. The bank manager used to be begging him to take massive loans. It's insane thinking back now, but thankfully the old lad had a bit of foresight. He grew up on a farm in Monaghan, so he lived his life by the principle of living within your means. Nonetheless, there was money being made. The developer, who had been in the news many times since the Tiger, used to land in a massive helicopter every time he'd come to check on the site. They even made a makeshift helipad for him by clearing a pile of clay. Boom times, baby. Anybody. Anyway, keep on rocking, lads. That comes in from John and Swords.
Do you know why there was Lads Dawson? Because the developer was landing in a helicopter. And everyone got the impression, money here is no problem.
Yeah, they were probably thinking like, why am I breaking my arse? That lad's landing in a chopper.
Yeah. Connor was in touch. I asked my father what he remembers from the boom, and he told me he remembers meeting the local postman, who told him he was off to his second villa in Bulgaria. He also remembers getting a call off our local bank manager, who was telling him he had just been approved for a €1 million loan if he wanted it. No paperwork, no nothing.
My God.
Damn.
That is crazy. We've got some random stories now. An anonymous person was in touch with the podcast and says, well, Johnny's, just recently started listening to the podcast and I'm a big fan. Just said I'd weigh in with a story about myself and an ex-girlfriend from Kilkenny.
Aye, aye.
Sounds ominous. Both of us used to live at home with our parents, so any time we wanted to have a bit of how's your father, we'd have to drive off somewhere and do it in the back of the car. Needless to say, this was risky business and was always hard to find a quiet spot to go to until we found this abandoned farm out in the middle of nowhere. We made this our regular spot as we barely ever met a car or person on the road going out there until one eventful night.
Hey, well, girl, do you want to go to the old abandoned farm?
To Emmerdale job. So after being to the cinema to watch Batman, The Dark Knight Rises,
that wouldn't get you going, lad. What? Nothing would.
We headed to our spot. We were going out around 3 or 4 months at this stage, so things were getting pretty serious. Halfway through, she tells me she loves me. Me, in absolute shock, as no woman had ever said it to me before, completely froze and didn't know what to say back. Then, lo and behold, a car drove up the laneway of the abandoned farm. Needless to say, we panicked. Both of us had all our clothes taken off, and it was her car we were in. She quickly got back into the driver's seat, while I was still in the back, bollock naked. We sped off, but we were being chased. I was in the back of the car trying to strap her bra back on while she was driving the car. Mad stuff altogether. We were both freaking out, thinking we were doomed, or worse, that if it was someone we knew chasing us. We eventually ended up getting onto the motorway, and the other car didn't pursue any further. We finally found a spot to pull into and get all our clothes back on before we headed back home. Needless to say, we didn't head back there again. I eventually told her I loved her back a couple of weeks later. We broke up 3 years later, but I'll never forget that moment. Oh. Note to the people listening to this podcast. Having sex on an abandoned farm is never a good idea. Save your money and get a house.
Sure, what were they supposed to do?
An abandoned farm, though, lad.
Well, they had to do it somewhere, lad. Love will find a way.
Riding will find a way.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? You're home in the bed in the middle of the night and the dark night rising, like. You know what I mean? On Maura's topic last week of impotence, Declan emailed us to say, Smack's talking about his Benjamin getting stage fright at the urinals. I thought I'd let him know he's not alone. Have a story about my mate who was renowned among the group for having stage fright from time to time. It was summer 2018 and there was a group of us on the number 16 bus out to Marley Park for a Bruno Mars concert.
I was at that concert.
Yeah, you said it was quite good.
It was brilliant.
As the young adolescents we were, we had a fair load to drink on the hour-long bus journey. Traffic was heavy and Jack, who is a dedicated listener to the podcast, was bursting for a pee. I had an empty large Coke bottle and gave it to him to offload. Bear in mind, we are sitting beside two middle-aged women who were singing Bruno Mars songs through their phone down the back of the bus. Reluctant to do it, Jack eventually got his Benjamin out but was struggling. The middle-aged women said over to us in a thick Dublin accent, "Jesus, you little scumbag." When they realised what he was trying. But still, nothing came out. The women saw the bottle was empty and after a while they shamed him by saying, "Ah, little fella has stage fright." Was a great laugh for myself and my other friend, but left poor Jack mortified until we got off the bus. It was a long bus journey for him bursting for a pee, but we got there eventually and the floodgates opened when he reached a Portaloo in Ballinteer. And he'd love to have a pint with his Max and sit down and discuss Benjamins.
No bother, lad, but he can keep his Benjamin in his pants for this one. And a Coke bottle as well. I hope he's not able to get his Benjamin inside the Coke bottle.
I'd want Luke's bottle at least, wouldn't you?
Lad, my country spring. An anonymous email again and said, "Well, lads, Amara, what's the sus, hi? God, where are they from? Loving both podcasts. Lads. Going back to podcast 120 and the impotence stories, I've got one. The first time I was with a woman, I had been out in the lash all night with the lads. Vodka Red Bull all night. I was about 8 deep, I'd say.
Oh.
Anyway, she drags me back to her gaff and things start to heat up on the couch. Me being new to this, I was obviously a bit nervous, but also very drunk. She drops the hand and starts feeling around, but nothing's happening. A few minutes go by, still nothing's happening. She takes matters into her own hands and unbuttons the super sexy skinny jeans I was wearing and proceeds to go gobbing with it."
When she's unbuttoning something super sexy, I thought it was going to be on her.
Yeah, yeah. It was a pair of River Island jeans. She went for about 10 minutes and still nothing was happening. Was as floppy as a soft day.
Oh no.
Somehow, she was non-deterred by this and we tried again a few days later when we were both sober and I got it up. However, I couldn't for the life of me finish, no matter how hard I tried. I think my body was trying to tell me to run away from this because of what was to come, but that's a story for another day. Good luck. We need the follow-up story. You can't... Listen, don't just tease us by saying, "I've got another great story, but you'll have to wait." You know, tell us.
Yeah,
we need to know.
You
anonymous.
Have to finish.
Yeah. Always finish.
On Noel's News, James was in touch to say, "I was listening to Noel's News there on podcast 87 about the mayor of a town being pulled down the street in Mexico. Before the whole story was told, I thought it was about a mare, female horse." I feel slightly stupid now because I don't think a horse would have an office.
Man, James. Bye.
Thanks, James.
On the hashtag Save Our Chicken Rolls campaign.
Outrageous.
We are up in it now. We're up in this campaign. We're starting to come out of this lockdown and we're you know, this campaign really matters to us.
Back to the delis.
Tom said, how's it going, boys? Just bought myself a chicken fillet roll from a Eurostar in Barrow Street in Dublin, where all the Google buildings are. Cost me a fiver and it's half the size of a normal roll. Absolutely
outrageous.
And he says, up tip from Tom. Like, what, a fiver, right, near the Google buildings is like, I'm not going to say that's acceptable, but like going by the rich people who live around there or work around there.
Yeah.
A fiver is like, look, it's not right. It's never right. But for half the size of the roll.
Did you know if you work in Google, you get free food?
Wow. But yeah. Do they do chicken rolls?
If anybody listening works in Google, let us know. Do you get free chicken rolls?
That's all we want to know.
That's actually all I want. Can we Google that?
Yeah.
On strange names, Aoife emailed us to say, I have a friend from Virginia and her mum is a teacher. She was filling me in on the more unusual names her mum has come across in her teaching career. Amongst the worst were twins. Their mother pronounced their names Lem Angelo or Or Angelo.
No.
Spelt lemon jello and orange jello.
Which is like jam. Is it?
Jelly.
Jelly.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's not
you
good.
Have a bright future, lads.
We thought Elvis was bad. On previous interviews, a listener messages and says, right, lad, because of lockdown, I've gone from episode 40 to 101 in 2 weeks, and I heard your interview with Healy Ray.
Yes.
He might be a good politician, but he did do something that didn't really make sense. I was in IT Tralee and was living in student accommodation when one night a car out in the car park started making loads of noise, so everyone was looking outside. Out there was a car plastered with Vote Healy Ray all over it. He obviously didn't consider that nearly everyone there can't vote for him because they don't really live in Kerry. Telmara up the Royals. The good kind, not the tans. Wow. Listen, you know what I mean?
The Healy Rays are listening, lads. Which one of you was in the car?
Who was driving, lads?
What are you doing donuts around the car park of Tralee IT? Come on now. On dealing with the public, Stephen emailed the pod to say, I met a few strange characters working in Supervalue. There is a man known here locally as the Bomber. And it's
Bomber,
he's good to me. It's... Sorry, we're going to get back to Pure Mule, which is amazing. It's not Oat Bomber Liston, the former Kerry footballer. We had to take out his name, his actual name. He's known locally for having a child with his sister.
Ooh, lovely. Oh my God. This has to be Carlo.
I'm saying nothing.
I'm only messing, Carlo. But, we love you.
Stephen says, yes, you read that right. His sister. Anyway, we had our summer collection out a number of weeks back. You know, tables, chairs, barbecues, the lot. The Bomber comes in, buys a chalk ice, and goes out to sit in one of the chairs. We can't see him as it's out the side of the shop. Anyway, 2 hours pass, and I'm helping a lady bring her shopping out to the car. And what do I see? The Bomber, fast asleep on one of the chairs, ice cream melted down his pants, and also he had his hand down his pants. Had to get the manager and two of us to wake him up and tell him to feck off. There is also another woman here who doesn't believe the coronavirus and walks around the shop with a trolley she stole from Spar at the other end of town, telling everyone, you're overreacting.
Oh my God.
Stephen, where are you?
That is
where are
we? We need to know, lads, who's going to win the Two Johnnies podcast mug?
I don't know, you're all mental.
Sponsored by KC Sports.
Maura, who do you like for the mug?
I love the jet ski story. I think that's class crack. That is pure boom now.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like the jet ski story.
I like the people who blew all their SSIA as well.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe they need a mug, you know?
Yeah, they lost their beloved Fiat Punto. Yeah. You know? Right, we'll give it to Jack.
Jack.
Jack, you're getting this week's Two Johnnies podcast mug. Just email podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie and Maura will sort out the mug for you. There we go. Now, the weekly roundup. What's been going on this week in Two Johnnies land? John Boy.
We're working away on a couple of projects that we can't tell you all too much about. But we did celebrate 4 years since our first ever video this week.
Yeah, 30th of May 2019. 2016 was when the two Johnnies put their first ever video on Facebook, and it was commentary of Kerr versus Golden in the under 21 B County Final
football.
We may have insulted a couple of players, but we regret nothing.
There was one lad playing for Golden. Jeez, he's big as a house. He was a monster.
He was, but like he could move and he could play football.
He was big everywhere.
Yeah, yeah,
he was massive. Tank, yeah. Some money got into rare in him.
Yeah, and I think we said that every time he touched the ball.
Here he is, right? The buster.
Yeah.
Some sod buster, this, yeah. That. You want to see him? Like, it was a wet day, lad. He's lucky he didn't get bogged down.
Yeah.
The manager to bring a chain to get him out in case he got stuck.
Kerr went on to win that county final. And if you want to watch that video, the full hour and a half of that video is on our YouTube, right? You can watch it. The commentary is fairly good, but the highlight is when we have a little screen and we're kind of down the corner of the screen,
yeah,
of ourselves, and then, you know, the football's on the big screen, and then this outlet just keeps coming into the background and he's like looking at the camera as if to say, like, what are you doing, lads? And that's, if you can find that clip, it's hilarious. It's well worth a watch. Also this week I've been up in my basketball game.
Really?
I got me hoop. Me hoop came.
Oi, oi.
I have loads of hoop now. Myself and Annie almost broke up putting it together. She knows I'm not good at that kind of stuff. She was stressing me out, like, she was shouting at me, like,
why?
Like, relax, like,
trying to assemble the parts.
Yeah, trying to assemble the parts, like, you know, I was kind of like plowing on, you know, putting stuff together that shouldn't have been put together. Oh, listen, we got there in the end, but we're a formidable duo on them.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone take us on. We're talking about it on the extra pod about, like, you know.
Yeah, me and Mara are going to take you on.
2-on-2.
2-on-2.
Prison rules. Call your own fouls.
Do you play against Annie 1-on-1?
Yeah, but she's 2-0 up in the best of seven series at the moment. She played like proper basketball. So, like, you know, she does me for travelling. No, I'm too used to playing football.
You're taking 4 or 5 steps, see ya.
Fucking hoops are fair high, lad.
Yeah, well, how high is it?
10 foot.
How do they dunk that?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, I've been trying all week. I nearly sprained my ankle. I mean, legs are shattered.
How high is your vertical leap? Like, how short of the 10 foot are you? Can you touch the net?
I'm around a foot. Probably a foot. I can't get there.
If there's anyone listening who can actually dunk off a 10 foot net,
yeah,
like, send us a video of it. How are you doing it?
Send us a video. And who are you? And what steroids are you taking? Because I need some. I need to beat that bitch, right? I'm 2-0 down in the series. Give me some tips. If you're a basketball, I can shoot. I'm getting accurate, but like dribbling
is the
issue.
I'll ref the next game.
Yeah, sweet.
Things are loosening up with the old coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Thank God, because everyone has been ignoring it anyway.
Yeah.
My social media has been full of people going wherever they want in large groups.
And posting photos of it.
Yeah, blew me away.
Do you know, we kind of know everyone's doing it, right? You know, but like, don't fucking put it up on social media.
Yeah, I saw one person I follow who had a photo up like, great weekend in, and they named a town that's way more than 5 kilometres away. And they're in a photo with 10 of their friends.
Sitting on top of each other.
Yeah, in someone's backyard.
Yeah, yeah. It's
so, it's a bit Irish, lads.
I'm glad they've loosened it. Now, this means that I can go home. I can go home and see my mother.
See Trish.
Yeah. Me mum, dad and Abby, they're at home in Roscrea. I haven't seen me mother since, I'd say, the first week of February.
Wow.
Yep. Yep.
She's going to spoil you, lad.
Yeah, I'm going to go home and it's supposed to come out of my ears.
Yeah, you can travel within your own county. So, like, Cork people just showing off now.
But here's the thing, right? So, from Kerr to Roscrea,
yeah,
is further than, let's say, if I was to go to Tremor.
Yeah.
So...
You don't want to go to Waterford. You don't know what you catch.
But I'm just saying, like, it's, you know, Tip is such a big county.
Look, I think the main point is, like, social distance where you can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if we come out of all this coronavirus and men will now wash their hands in pub toilets, I'll take that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll settle for that.
As an old manager used to say, do the simple things, lads.
Do the simple things.
And the rest will come.
Yeah.
There you go. Take your pints, the goals will come. And thanks a million to all of you signing up for the extra podcast on Patreon. We absolutely love knocking out a park fee on every Thursday. It's €6 per month plus VAT. You're getting loads of extra podcasts and extra content. And on last Thursday's extra podcast called The Two Johnny Summer Camp, we discussed hosting a summer camp in Lanzarote that our tour manager is currently working on, So you can, here's what we're planning on.
First rule, no kids.
So we're going to charter our own plane.
From Waterford Airport.
Yeah.
In-flight entertainment. DJ Pat Hennessy from Care. Maury, you got to see this guy. He still arrives on with the box of CDs.
We are bringing Samba Soccer to Lanzarote. We are going to have fully unlicensed, un-Brazilian coaches.
We have guys who look slightly Brazilian.
Yeah, and they will be donning yellow jerseys and pretending to be coaches from Rio de Janeiro.
Men who could easily be mistaken for being Brazilian.
The Jimmy Buckley jiving night.
And it's going to be a cool camp with Larry O'Gorman from Wexford. Rounders.
There will also be boxer size with Mick Conlon.
Where Mick Conlon pucks the head off you and your friends. I want to get road bowling back around Lanzarote. A couples basketball. If you can beat Max and Annie at basketball, you get your money back.
Also, every day there will be a penalty shootout. And I'm hoping to get Shea Given on board for this.
Wow, really? Shea Given?
I'm going to take 100 penalties. Yeah. And if I miss more than 5, Shea Given gets €1,000. I'm that confident.
Shea Given.
In fact, if anybody beats me at any sport throughout the week-long duration of this summer camp, they will get the price of their holiday back.
Shea Given's probably a multi-millionaire, lad.
Yeah, but like, you know, he'll want a bit of beer money, like, you know, for the week in Lanzarote. Right, you may remember back on podcast 69. We discussed the website onlyfans.com, and if you don't know what the website is, it's a social platform where people sell photos, videos, and live streams through a monthly subscription service. Musicians, comedians, and other creatives use it, but it has found its niche in adult entertainment, i.e. explicit, sexy photos, stuff that is too racy for Instagram.
And that's saying something.
And that is saying something. One of the most popular Irish people on the site is Alana Pitterine. Alana is a 30-year-old woman from Cork. She works as a personal trainer as well as being on OnlyFans. And we caught up with her recently for an exclusive. This is her first ever interview.
The most anticipated interview in podcast history. Okay, we're rolling. Alana, welcome to the podcast. Okay. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very good. Thank you. How are you?
We're good. We're delighted to be joined by a star of OnlyFans. Is that fair to say?
Thanks for inviting me on. It's apparently, I think, yeah, apparently.
Well, we're going to say it anyway, Alan.
Yeah. Okay, so for those who don't know you, how would you describe what it is that you do on OnlyFans?
So it's basically a subscription site for content that's not for Instagram, basically. There's just a rolling subscription. You can cancel at any time. There's internal features in, like, messages, and you can put a price lock on those too, so that like people pay a little bit extra too if you want to go down that road. But yeah, just a subscription site basically.
Okay, and is it good crack?
I love doing it. I actually love doing it.
Yeah, what's so good about it?
I just have a laugh on it. Like, I don't take anything too seriously. I don't take myself too seriously. I just go on. I just do whatever I feel like doing, basically. And yeah, I just find it a bit of crack.
So like, if I was to describe OnlyFans to someone who didn't know what it was, I'd be like, it's kind of racy enough, like. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah. But technically speaking, it doesn't have to be just for things like that.
Yeah.
Like, it can be But yeah, if you hear of a girl doing OnlyFans, you're going to presume that it's racy enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and how did you first get into it?
So, like, I would have done a lot of kind of risque photo shoots and things like that. My content all would have been fairly out there a couple of years ago and things. So I would have gotten, like, a lot of kind of messages from men looking for kind of things like that. But I kind of couldn't be bothered dealing with people one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So my ex actually told me about it, told me what it was, told me how it worked, and told me I should go for it. And yeah, I just did.
Your ex-boyfriend put you on the OnlyFans?
Yeah.
He obviously didn't mind then you putting those kind of photos and content online.
No, he didn't mind at all. No, no.
Gas.
He had limits now, and I respected those. But No, he didn't mind the general concept. No.
And you said before that your content was kind of racy. Was that for, like, you were doing shoots, or was it to promote your PT, or?
I was just doing shoots. Just doing shoots for the laugh. Like, I would have had bad enough confidence when I was kind of a teenager and everything like that. And it actually took me being pregnant when I was 20. And my, like, obviously, you know, I loved that I was going to have a baby and everything. But, like, I found it really hard to see my body changing so rapidly.
Yeah.
And I was, like, crying at myself for hating and being so hard on myself when, you know, I wasn't fat at all in comparison to how I was then. So with that just kind of came, you know, a bit of confidence and a bit of just kind of embrace yourself and stopping so hard on yourself and, you know, show what you got and what you love, because you're going to look back on some day anyway and just be like, fuck. Basically.
Okay, so when you started when you decided that you would set up an OnlyFans page, so it's totally up to you what you post. So how did you decide what you would and wouldn't do?
So, like, I do have limitations on it. I won't go into what they are. But it was just whatever I was comfortable with. I would be comfortable with more, but I just have to, I have other people now that I have to consider as well a bit, you know. So limitations are there for them. I kind of probably won't ever restrict myself to, like, just what I'm doing now. But yeah, it's just kind of for the sake of, like, my daughter and things like that.
Yeah.
But what I wouldn't be happy for her to kind of see or have floating around, you know.
And, like, say if we want to see, you know, a woman togged off on the internet, we could just Google it, like, and you know, it'll come up within seconds. Why do you think guys why do you think guys sign up to this form of content, like? Is it is it more authentic, I guess?
It's definitely authentic. It's definitely fairly original.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't seen other people's OnlyFans or anything like that, but, like, yeah, what I do is definitely a bit different. It's a bit more fun sometimes. Like, you know, it's just a bit of a laugh. But I think as well, like, a lot of people would kind of know me around here, and I think that's mostly to do with it, to be honest, that I'm just someone they kind of know, you know.
What, out of nosiness or what?
Yeah, I'd say so. Both. I don't know. I actually don't know, to be honest. I can't really answer that. I can only kind of speculate as to why.
And have you never looked up another girl's OnlyFans to see what she's doing? Like, you know, we listen to other podcasts.
No. Yeah, no, I never have. The main way that I get sign-ups is actually from people taking my content illegally and sharing it. Wow. And that actually gets me a lot of sign-ups.
What, like people screenshotting your stuff and just WhatsApping it on?
Screenshot it, screen record it, yeah, it happens all the time. I think I know that some of it is for, like, to sabotage me. A lot of it then is just lads being lads and whatnot, but some, I know there are people who've signed up just to do that, just to try and kind of tear me down and take me off my pedestal or whatever, you know. But it ends up just being free advertising, like anything that screenshot or sent around.
Yeah,
my link is on the bottom of it.
Yeah,
like, has it boosted your personal training business?
Yeah, it has. It would have, yeah.
There's surely a few lads signing up just to have a sneer, like a look at you, is there? Like, going for a training session or something?
There, do you know what? There would be ones that try, but if I get a kind of vibe like that off a guy, I'm not signing him up, like.
Have any of your OnlyFans followers ever, like, met you in public and come up to you and be like, love your stuff, or, like, can I get a picture, or, like, you know?
How's it going?
Yeah, that's happened. Like, I don't go out. I don't drink. But I would have been on, like, one or two hens now last year, and literally guys will just create an aisle for you to get up to the bar. And I've been asked for selfies, yeah, by, like, you know, young guys now when they're kind of drunk and things, and I'll have, like, people kind of waving at me and I've never seen them in my life. Like, oh, I dropped my headphone. Like, there's, I'm very aware. Anytime I go into Aldi, most of that store has seen me naked. Like,
what kind of things do lads say, like, if they meet you on a night out or something?
Do you know what? I think they find me quite intimidating. They definitely do. They wouldn't really say anything. They just treat me with actually the utmost respect. I rarely get, like, any disrespect for us. Besides that, like, you'll have kind of sleaze is no worries. That will be straight to the point. That will be like, name your price and things like that.
Great.
But, you know, you just, yeah, that happens a fair bit. Yeah.
What, lads, like, that's offering you money, looking to get the ride?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hell.
Jesus, you'd be forgiven for slapping the fella.
Yeah, I know. It's happened. And like, I'm joking. No, but I'd always be well able to set my ground with like anything to do with that. You
I
know?
Don't doubt you.
Yeah. Do you get like many requests like or like mad stuff, like, you know, would people be looking for any mad, like, you know,
the
pictures? Like,
I do, like, nothing too insane.
Yeah.
Nothing too insane, but definitely I get a lot of requests. But like at the end, like, I don't think, yeah, I do the odd few. I kind of take suggestions. I hate being told what to do. I kind of treat it like, you're here for my entertainment, do this. No, I won't respond to that, you know, and things. And even kind of one-on-one stuff, I wouldn't do anyway if it was a request. Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah, so, but you do, or do you do direct messaging on OnlyFans?
I do sometimes, yeah. Yeah, I do.
So that's if people want extra content, they can pay an extra few bob for...
Yeah, or I'll just take something anyway and I'll just send it out to everyone in the one go, and whoever wants to open it can open it. If they don't want to, fine. I won't even know. Unless they check, you know.
Jeez, you must be making a fortune, are you?
I'm making, do you know what, a nice bit of money. Like, I would have had 10 years or longer since I was in school. I've been working and I've been paying my own way, and I never worked for more than minimum wage. And I had quite a few jobs that I absolutely hated. Other jobs then that I could just about kind of tolerate and, you know, get through without, like, hating every second. But I never really had anything I enjoyed. I do now, but, like, it's taught me a lot about, like, Jesus, having to budget every tenner I had, every week. Because I never would have worked. Like, I always had a job. But, like, with my daughter, I never wanted anyone else to raise her. So... I was kind of limited in what I did want to work and couldn't work and everything like that. So I was always kind of like 3-4 days a week or like 5 days a week, but shorter shifts and things. And so, yeah, I was kind of very dependent on other people at that stage to, you know, get a house and everything like that. And yeah, it just kind of adds to my independence, really.
Yeah.
Like, even with the whole lockdown and everything like that, like, my PT business straight away had to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still had overheads there with that and things. With this, doesn't matter what's going on in the world around you, it actually helped.
Yeah, like, did your subscriptions go up during the lockdown?
Yeah, they went through the roof, yeah. They probably quadrupled, I'd say.
No way.
Yeah.
I think we'll be giving the OnlyFans a go ourselves.
Yeah, swear to God, we need to start doing some sit-ups, man. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's not a bad shout. It's actually very big in England with men.
Yeah,
no
There's
way.
A lot of guys in English do it, yeah.
I can categorically tell you now, Alana, there's no one going to pay money to see me naked or semi-naked.
Of course there is.
With no top on.
And what kind of stuff do guys
there
post?
Is,
like?
There is.
Yeah.
I haven't followed them either. I don't really know. I think that's more targeted towards gays than women, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I can use my imagination, you know.
Well, have any women signed up to your site?
There's a lot. There is a lot. I would have noticed a couple, just because of the usernames, if they, like, voluntarily had their username as a female name, then I would have known. But certainly, since lockdown, there was a lot of girls signed up all at once, yeah.
And can you see the names of people who've signed up and just asking for a friend?
For a friend.
For a friend. No. Not unless they actually choose to put in their name as their username. Other than that, they're given an anonymous one.
Okay. All right.
And the women that have signed up, do you reckon, like, is that, you know, like lesbians or like women around Cork just looking to have a sneer?
It's both.
Yeah.
It's definitely both. Yeah. There are some girls who've written to me and they're like, look, I love what you do and things. They're like, I'm here for ideas kind of from my boyfriend and whatever. And then there are lesbians.
Hmm.
And then there are ones who are just, you know, screen grabbing anything they can, you know.
Just bitches, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, you know, what did your friends say when you told them you were going to start doing it day one?
I didn't really tell anyone I was doing it. I just kind of did it. But I'm kind of like that anyway, you know.
What did they say?
I kind of just jump in. I don't think anyone was too shocked.
Really?
Like, yeah. I don't think anyone was massively shocked by it, to be honest. You know, given by what I've kind of had up before anyway, it's not that drastic a step to what I was doing then or doing now.
And like, what about your family? I mean, you know, Ireland, it would be known for being a bit prudish. Like, I mean, how did they take
it? Yeah. So the first, I'd say, half an hour that I had launched this, my My family actually got a phone call informing them that I was now a porn star. I now had my own porn site and everything like that. So I kind of had my dad on the phone. He was like, what's the story here? You know, but I explained that to him. Like, they've seen my content before. My poor mother was traumatized back then, but, you know, she's kind of gotten over that now. So they didn't say anything. My dad just advised me, you know, make sure you're paying your tax.
That was actually it.
He was happy.
That's solid enough advice. And like you mentioned, you mentioned like a porn site there. Like, have you ever been approached to do porn? Is it something you'd consider, or is like, you know, is that off limits?
I have been approached a good few times. I was approached by the owner of two really big porn sites. They're really well known. I didn't really know them.
Alana.
We wouldn't know them either.
If they're known, he'll know them, honestly.
We wouldn't know them. But, so they approached you. What kind of an offer did they make?
Do you know what? The offers aren't that outrageous. Like, you wouldn't get huge money per video.
Jeez.
Like, it'd be less than $5,000, you know? So, like, $5,000 isn't worth it to me to have that kind of flowing around forevermore, you know? And,
yeah.
And like, no, yeah, you'd have to ride someone like on camera. And that's the kind of money they were offering.
Yeah.
That'd be heavy. That's a whole different ballgame to what you're doing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Now, that's like, I actually wouldn't have an issue with that so much myself. But again, it's just limitations, you know?
Yeah.
Just okay. For people around me and stuff, yeah.
And like, is there a load of work in doing OnlyFans, like, do you know, do you have to always be looking your best, and is it hard?
No, I'm rarely looking my best, Hannes. Rarely, like, very often I would have like zero makeup on. It could be first thing in the morning, I haven't even gotten out of bed, or when I'm just coming out of the shower and I'm like panned eyes and whatnot. So like, no, I definitely don't have to be looking my best for it at all.
I don't know if lads would be really looking at your makeup sometimes now, you know?
Do you know what? They wouldn't, but like, the face does come into it. The face is important too, yeah. And you know, you have to be confident enough to like look at, you know, stare down the camera or whatever too at times.
I can't imagine a lot of lads like going, oh, she's got winged eyeliner on there. That's Jesus.
Yeah. But like, I've made it to the top 1.6% in the world with like,
wow,
not much effort. So yeah, it doesn't take much of my time, to be honest, not at all.
Wow. And do you have a plan, like, where do you go from here to try and kick it up a notch?
Do you know what, I don't really plan anything in my life. I just kind of go with the flow and I wing things, and whatever opportunities come up, brilliant. If I feel like doing it, yeah, grand. If I don't, but like, I've never really had like a 5-year plan or anything like that. I'd have little goals, but I never set anything else.
Yeah.
I just kind of, yeah, take it as it comes, ride the wave.
Okay, and so like, you couldn't tell us, how long more do you reckon you'll do it for?
Until I stop enjoying it.
Mm.
Whenever that is.
Yeah, and I think like, a lot of lads will be like, go on, ask her, does she have a boyfriend? Do you have a fella, like?
I don't, no.
Do you think it'd be a consideration for a guy, the fact that you do an OnlyFans account?
Yeah, it definitely would, but I think I've never met anyone since I've done it that doesn't know that I do it. So any guys that have an issue with that are not going to approach me anyway. Mm-hmm. Or they haven't approached me anyway. I haven't come across that yet where someone has had an issue, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think you'll find it hard to meet Mr. Right, or are you looking?
Like, it would make it harder, yeah, because I suppose with that, I kind of feel like a walking target sometimes. Just because I'm kind of, I suppose I'm someone people could probably boast about a little bit more, because more people know me that kind of way. But I haven't been trying to meet anyone either, so I'm not sure, like, maybe if I really want to kind of get my head down with that, like, do you know what? Any guy that has an issue with it isn't going to be the guy for me anyway.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. And Alana, do you think it's a good, like, do you think it's a good career choice for a woman to do OnlyFans? Or, I mean, would you
not
have any?
Not really.
No?
Not really. Like, yes and no. Like, I would be very kind of strong-willed and very kind of, like, other people don't really faze me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of judgment with it. There's a lot of, like, nastiness comes with it. Like, I would have had people, like, screen recording things and screenshotting things and then uploading them onto Facebook and tagging, like, you know, different people so that it reached even more people. There's been a lot of, like, a lot of bitchiness and things that have gone on behind my back. A lot of stories, a lot of rumours. There's been, like, radio stations calling me. There's been journalists, like, asking me for interviews, which I've declined. And then they've gone away and printed, you know, whatever story they wanted anyway. So it can definitely, like, affect your mental health hugely if you are in any bit kind of, any bit vulnerable that way.
Yeah, so you got to have a thick skin for it then, really.
You definitely have to have a thick skin for it, yeah. And as well as that, like, because it's very one way, you know, I'm putting out content. There's no one, you know, there's engagement.
Yeah.
But it is still a very one way thing. So, like, you kind of go to, like, there are people now who've been signed up to it since day one, and they have never interacted. They've never liked a post. They've never interacted at all. And I understand that, you know, there's a lot of people who'd be afraid that, like, if they like anything, it'll draw attention to their profile. I might go digging, I might find out who they are. So that can, like, I've never done that. And I, like, even the people who've shared things, I couldn't be bothered even trying to find out who they are, you know, not to mind other people who are just following me. So that can get a little bit demotivating too. It can be kind of hard to come up with fresh ideas as well, you know, when there is kind of only so much you can show. So
you're like us trying to write a sketch.
Yeah, it can be that way. It can be. And I have gone through patches where it's kind of like, kind of couldn't be bothered with this. And then I didn't bother with this.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, like, in terms of me, it suits me absolutely fine. Like, yeah, I'm completely fine with everything about it. I'm, you know, comfortable in myself. I'm strong-willed enough. Like, you know,
yeah,
I can just turn the blind eye to anything that's kind of said, or, you know, any kind of backlash like that too. So.
Well, fair play to you. I mean, when you signed up, were you surprised by that kind of reaction? Or before you started, were you thinking, look, I'm going to get a bit of stick, but I'm able for it?
Do you know what? I was a bit surprised, to be honest. Like, the fact that I'm so okay with it and don't see it as a big deal. Like, yeah, the entire world's population, bar gay men, are going to become overly familiar with the female body anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, I definitely don't see it as a big deal. I kind of find it a bit surprising. Well, not really surprising, but, like, I don't really guess when people have such an issue with it. Okay. So I actually can't even remember what you asked me there. I was answering around the loop there.
No, I mean, it's just, you know, some of our listeners will say, God, you know, I wouldn't like that career choice for my wife or whatever. And we just want you to be able to put your side of the story across, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the way I see it, yeah, everyone, like, there's nudist beaches all over France. Walking there, no one bats an eyelid. You could be walking around in, like nothing, you know, and people wouldn't even think twice. And, you know, people are content, happy, there's no judgment, everything like that. But then over here, for some people, it's just kind of like, you know, they'll form an opinion of me based on my comfort levels within myself and things, you know, and that's just more of a reflection on them than me at all, you know.
It's not quite the same thing now, to be fair. A nudist beach in France and, you know, a subscription account. It's not exactly the same thing now.
It's not exactly the same thing, but it's not a million miles apart either.
Yeah.
I think it's in Ireland, it's such a big deal. But, like, we went to Germany then and they were, like, bollock naked in the steam room when we're in there, like, and we didn't know where the fuck to look. Like, I nearly had a fucking t-shirt on in there.
Well, you've kind of proved, well, yeah, I suppose, like, Irish people are kind of uncomfortable with nudity and things like that.
Yeah.
And most of them don't even know why. It's just kind of drilled into you from, like, you know, all our parents would have been very kind of like Catholic church raised and things like that. And obviously the whole way back along too. So, you know, it's just kind of people's perception and, like, standards of self-respect and stuff like that, I suppose.
Okay. We just wanted to ask you, did you see Kerry Katona set up an OnlyFans account? And we were saying, like, is that a sign that it's really becoming more accepted?
I'd say that definitely is a sign of that, yeah. Yeah. I didn't hear that she did. I'm not too surprised. You know, especially now, I think there's a lot more setting them up to. I would presume so, you know, since quarantine and everything like that. So, and obviously more time in their hands and people thinking of how to make other kind of money, you know. I'm not shocked.
She's about €25 a month.
Yeah.
She's what, €25 a month?
Yeah.
Mine was 100 at the very beginning.
Were you? That's some twine.
Yeah.
You're dead right.
Before I actually launched, it was that, yeah.
Can we ask how much do you know?
Oh, it's like $12 or something like that. So it's like €10.
Okay. And do you think, is it good value for money?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah.
And when people are listening to this, where can they go and check it out? They can check out your Instagram. Plug your Instagram there.
So my Instagram is Alana Pitorino _. So ALANAPITORINO _. And then my OnlyFans is onlyfans.com/AlanaPitorino.
Alana, it's been an absolute pleasure. Yep. Honest to God.
Prepare to have loads more new subscribers.
There's going to be a lot of DM slides coming your way,
You're
Alana.
You're going to be rich.
That's all right with me. That's all right with me.
Alana, thanks
Lads,
so much.
Thank you. Not at all. It's been an absolute pleasure.
In fairness, that was a really honest and insightful interview there from Alana that has probably changed our opinion on OnlyFans, like we discussed on Podcast 69. I know it definitely changed my opinion anyway, John.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about it this Thursday on Patreon. We're going to have the full debate, the post-match analysis.
Yeah, we're going full Liam Brady and Eamon Dunphy on it.
No, this woman's a cat. Yeah, so look, tune in Thursday if you want to hear about it, because there's so much to discuss, and we look forward to hearing people's feedback.
Yeah, and we debate, would we like our other halves if we, like, you know, to be posting on OnlyFans?
Would you date someone who was on OnlyFans?
Find out Thursday.
Oh, lad, you have me. I have the FOMO.
Okay, he holds numerous records for sheaf tossing at various agricultural shows around the country. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News! I'm like Charlie Bird. I'm young, brah.
Well, Noel, how are you?
Not too bad, bye. Loads of news for you now.
Have you?
Yeah, oh, wait till you see this, bye. like a... Yep.
You've a bit of hair sticking out the front of the cap this
week. Well, it's been a tough week. I'm back on the job.
You're back on the job, yeah?
I'm jobbing around, yeah.
What, yeah?
Nixers. Foxers. Yeah. I did make a few flower boxes for Kate Ryan across the road.
Did you?
Oh, you want to see her box? I said, Kate, you have a lovely box. And she said, I know, Jack, when he comes home, he's delighted to see it. I said, why wouldn't he be? Why wouldn't he be? Any man be happy coming home to a box like that? Not one, but you've two boxes.
All right.
And the two windowsills.
Oh, yeah. My mind was racing there.
Yeah. She was going putting geraniums in them. I said, they're too big for your box. And let's try it. Now, news. News from around the world. What country would you say when you're hungry?
Hungry.
You could also say that, but... You could say, please, sir, can I have Samoa?
Very good. Yeah? Very good.
Right there. Right, Oliver Twist. Yep. A book about a young fella who's a thief. If he was mine, I'd bet the ears off. Fact. Speaking of which, actually, John Paul is back living at home.
No way.
Yeah, he's gone from the girlfriend. Yeah, apparently been stuck in the same apartment the whole time through lockdown. It was too stressful.
Oh, God.
Oh, too stressful. Yeah, well, that, and he did saddle the entire ladies football team. Pop. Maury, you wouldn't know John Paul. He'd be my youngest lad.
I don't.
And the mother have him spoiled.
Really?
He's spoiled since he was a child. Oh, John Paul, come in out of the rain. Oh, John Paul broke his arm. Bring him to hospital. Oh, Noel, don't make him set the rat traps. He's only 7. Like, she'd have mollycoddled. Cotton wool. Change his name to Sponge, that fella. She ruined him when it came to sport as well. Oh, don't smoke fags at half time. Like, I often did it. Maybe a sop of poutine.
Yeah, no harm done.
Warm me up. Like, sometimes now, I'd be at the match, and there might be a huddle, you know, and I'd pull John Paul out of it, away from the other players at half-time. We might have a fight together, talk about what we're going to do for the second half. I'd always encourage him to lever it off.
Of course.
Well, especially at under 12 in the sharp pitch, you know. And they'd be saying, oh, no, don't give him fags at half-time, you know. I was like, he's 16 years of age, he can do what he wants. I mean, I mean, he's 11. Might have fudged the birth cert a couple of years. I'll tell you what, he was the only under 12 driving to the matches. Before I must show you of the South Final there, you'll see he's the one with the beard. But I never managed him now. I never managed John Paul myself. I always thought it was wrong. A father involved in the team, like, you could smother a child's development. Do you know what I'm saying to you?
That's profound.
Well, that's the kind of man I am. And now I would pull him aside at half time. And like, I'd have to be in the dressing rooms for the game, having the old crack with JP, you know. And like, we had a good warm up routine where he'd be soloing a slitter, trying not to drop it. And I'd punch him right in the kidneys. Like, you know, he'd always drop it. You know, and the odd time he'd shit himself. But one time he pissed blood. Yeah, but he fucked some game. Got him going. And the managers would be going mad. Oh, Noel, I can't give a team talk if you're shouting at John Paul. Like, this, they were always out to get him. They never liked him. Do you know that? Like, he should have been on the primary game team. He was the best under 12 the club had.
Wow.
It was a fact. And they said he couldn't play a primary game because he was an apprentice. Bullshit. Absolute horseshit. Oh, he always got a raw deal.
Yeah.
Now, when they got to the South Final last year, they dropped him.
Why?
Oh, he hadn't been training in 6 weeks. Like, oh, big deal. Noel, he can't drink cans in the dressing room. Let him hurl. Let the man hurl if he's good enough. And they said, I went out to him. I said, I'm going to talk out myself, lads, at this fucking rate. And they said, Noel, you know, no one in your family has paid the membership for 6 years. I said, lads, I came here to hurl. I didn't come here to talk shit. Let the man hurl. Let him hurl. They should have started him. And then when they were losing at half time, they went to bring him on. And they were giving out, he was gone to the pub. But like, you can't blame the man.
No.
He busted his bollocks. He'd been to 4 or 5 training sessions. You know what I mean? Let the man hurl. He went to the gym.
Did he?
Yeah, no, he didn't like it and he came home again. But he done his bit.
He tried.
He tried. And if he'd have played that South Final, they would have won. And I am in no doubt he'd be up with the county now.
Would he?
That's a fact. He went to county minor trials and they sent him home.
Why?
For fighting. And I said, look, lads are going to get into a fight. The blood is up. Pressure's on to impress. Nobody wants to back down an inch, you know? And they sent John Paul home just because he won the fight. I said, why didn't you send the other lad home? They said, no, he's the groundsman. I said, well, I didn't fucking know that, did I? Typical Kilbrian bias. They never, I'm telling you, John Paul for the county. I'm starting the campaign now.
Good man.
This, you know, not being able to train is going to suit him well.
He'll winter well.
He never, not a pick away at him.
Go away.
Not a pick away at him. He'd like a whippet. He'd like a pull through for a shotgun. No fat in that man. All the fags he was smoking, you know. But John Paul for the county.
Yeah, John Paul for the county.
John Paul, get the hashtag going.
Yeah, John Paul for the county. There you go. You heard it here first.
Yeah, Liam Sheedy, if you're listening now. Or and he'll go to another county. If you don't snap him up, lads, he'll be gone. Cork or someone will have him gone. Now, back to the news. Samoa, right? A country.
Yeah.
Out in the middle of nowhere. A tropical Echel Island, you might say. Right? They play this game called rugby, right? Now, it's kind of like how Tyrone play football. But you're allowed to bust, lads. In fact, it's encouraged.
Okay.
But it's a pity there was no rugby around in my day.
Why? Would you have been good?
I'd have been fucking unreal, I'd say. And now it's a pity there was no rugby around 20 years ago. Because if there was, I'd have heard about it.
I'm fairly sure that there was most definitely rugby around 20 years ago.
That I'm fairly tuned in. These things don't get past me.
But like, fellas like Keith Wood and stuff were playing.
Yeah, he hurled under 16 for Clare. I remember him. Cousin of mine marked him.
Yeah.
roasted him. They had to call the brigade. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, some people call me Mr. Current Events.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, not a lot, but some people. So there was this club team from Samoa. They went to Perth. Now, you probably don't know this, but Perth is a city in Australia.
I actually did know that, yeah.
You don't have to pretend. It's not cool to lie. Okay. And you have a lot of young people listening, and you shouldn't lie to them. Okay. So this rugby team, they flew to Auckland. You probably didn't know this. But Auckland is a city in New Zealand. Okay.
I knew that, yeah.
Yeah, look, don't pretend. It's a bad example for you to be setting for the young people. Yeah. To be lying like that. Pretending that you know things you don't, okay? It's a city in New Zealand, okay? It's okay, John. It's okay. Don't set a bad example. The coronavirus broke out and they had to stay in a church in Auckland. Mm-hmm. And now they left home, they left Samoa on the 23rd of February and they're only landing back now after going to play one fucking match. Hey, I'll often happen myself, huh? Where were you? Oh, quarantine, yeah. Out in fucking Maloney's, sogging hot whiskies out of the microwave. Jesus Christ, you'd be lucky to get out of it. And they land back in Samoa. They have to do 2 weeks of isolation quarantine because Samoa have no corona.
Wow.
Zero. They should be quarantined to 2E whenever you come back from Dublin, I'll tell you that. Maureen, wait till you see them. Two right alley cats, I'll tell you that now. Huh? They had all to sleep in one big room and they drank no alcohol at all the whole time they were there. They kept fit, they were training every day, and at night they would play bingo. And I tell you, John Paul wouldn't last on that team. He cheats at bingo.
How would he do that?
Oh Jesus, if you know the crack, you know the crack. Sure enough. You don't like him bet. So man caught a sideline.
Yeah, what's he?
Ah, he'd cut a ball out of a ditch, as a fact. He'd hurl an apple off a tree, that young fella. He'd hurl a slither out of your pocket. Yeah, Jesse would. Yeah, he'd hit the eye out of a bird flying.
Oh, well, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Any more?
Any more, bye. he'd hurl the balls off a genus. I want to reach out to them boys blowing smoke and just say well done for keeping all the boys in line. They hadn't won fight and they didn't go mad or nothing. And
the balls off the genius.
That was good, isn't it? I doubled on that one, but I returned it to you up the field. Not enough lads returning the ball now.
Drinking.
Too much fucking catching. Prick acting.
Was there no catching in your day?
Hey, it went on alright, but it was frowned upon. Like what you be at. But the Samoan boys did no drinking because they said they were on church grounds.
Wow.
Which is guess because like even the Pope takes a drink.
Does he?
Well, sure, what's altar wine?
Oh yeah, that's true.
There you go. Maybe at the weekend you have a few Corona, but I don't know. I wonder, does the Pope kick back with a few cans of Harp?
Jeez.
Stick on the old hurling and
just chill out.
Huh? God bless the crack.
God bless the crack, bye.
Look, lads, that'll do, eh?
Yeah, fair play to you.
Yeah, oh, fair play to me, bye.
Are you going anywhere now that the county, you can go anywhere in your county?
Well, I'm going, myself and John Paul have a new training session.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where's that?
Out in the yard.
All right.
I have a shed cleaned out for him.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and he has to sleep in that until he makes the county team.
Poor old John Paul.
No, that's the wrong attitude again.
Oh, sorry. John Paul for the county.
Yes. Good luck, Maureen.
Good luck.
She may have to set up an OnlyFans account if she can't persuade the bank to give her a mortgage. Maura's here. Maura, what is your mystery topic this week?
Okay, My mystery topic is kind of a running theme. It's finding love in a time of lockdown. So Leo Varadkar is coming on, you know, making these announcements about restrictions being eased, but he's not saying when people can get back to Tinder dating and shifting, okay? So I kind of looked into this to see what the rules are. Now, in the UK, they have made it illegal for couples who live in different homes to have sex indoors and stay overnight. So it's
what?
Yeah, it's new.
Boris Johnson pops out of wardrobe.
cock blocking
bastard.
It's the Health Protection Act, which was introduced, I think, last Monday. So it just regulates coronavirus restrictions. And they've been interpreted, meaning that any sexual activity between adults from different households is explicitly illegal. However, the independent newspaper...
Well, Bora, you can't be encouraging, you know, sex within the household. This isn't Carlo. Only joking, lads. We love you.
Oh, my God. But the independent newspaper has noted that police can arrest or fine people for breaking the law. The default penalty is £100, but the police do not have the power to verify violations inside the properties. So seems to be a little bit of a Mickey Mouse legislation. So we'll see. Now, here in Ireland, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Tony Houlihan, he was asked when someone could resume intimate relations, close contact with someone who lives in a different household. And he said the resumption of intimate close contact between people who live in different houses is not part of our guidance and advice at the moment. So I don't know what he means by that, but he's like, it seems to be ash or whatever you're at yourselves. I don't really know what way to interpret that. It's like, you know, hear no evil, speak no evil. But a journalist did ask him what his opinion was about the advice of public health officials in Netherlands. They said that you should choose one intimate partner and stick with them basically for the duration of lockdown. Basically find a sex buddy. And Tony said, in relation to the transmission of any infection, including STDs, that's good public health advice. And it actually, the rate of STD infection in Ireland has gone down during lockdown, which is interesting. So from today, June 8th, groups of up to 6 people can meet indoors and outdoors for social gatherings. However, you have to be at least 2 meters apart. So my understanding is that you can go on a Tinder date from somebody within your county, but you have to stay 2 meters apart. So that's
unfortunate for lads who don't have a 2 meter Mickey.
Now, I was kind of thinking, like, if you are going to do that type of date, what kind of things you do? Because pubs are closed till June 29th, or like pubs that serve food, they'll open back up again. So you're going to have like next couple of weeks with nothing to do. Now, you could go on a nice romantic walk with a socially distant walk, but I do have an experience of that went slightly wrong. So went on a Tinder date. We went to this lovely lake near me where you can walk around. So walked around the lake to kind of like the far side of lake, through kind of like 2 fields, and sat out in the jetty, had crack or whatever. And then we were walking back, and I could see that the cattle, there was about 20 cattle kind of like where we had to walk back through to get back to the car. Now, he was a townie, so I asked him straight away, I was like, now, are you afraid of cattle? And he was like, no. He was like, grand. No, I'm not afraid of cattle. Now, we got closer and closer, and now these cattle were big cattle. They're, you know, fit for the factory, getting fed meal, fairly jiggy. Now, I was like, I knew what was going to happen, but I was like, oh, here, Johnny Big Balls thinks, like, you know, he's grand. Oh, I'm not afraid of cattle.
Is that the fella whose date you're on, Johnny Big Balls? Yeah. He sounds like a nice guy.
Yeah. Nice, yeah.
So next thing, the cattle start coming towards us, and your man starts panicking, and he starts going, more, they're bulls, they have horns. And now I just like horns aren't exclusive to breed or gender. It's like some breeds of cattle have horns, and they're not supposed to have, they're supposed to be skulled anyway. So I was like, And then he just like took off running and like got ruined his runners, like standing cow shite. And then I was like, right, I just need to, like the cattle were just coming closer and closer towards us. And then I was like, right, I'll get rid of the cattle. So I had to do my big like whoop, you got, and then went like flying.
Yeah, so great.
Yeah, and then oh my god, it was so funny. But like, yeah, just don't bring townies anywhere there's near cattle. So yeah, and
I fully agree with that.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, do you have any ideas about stuff you could do now, like socially distanced dates or you know?
Yeah.
I'd probably just prefer to pay the €100 fine and get the ride.
Well, do you know what I was looking...
Hey, this fella's paying more than that anyway.
Yeah. I was looking into the issue of whether sex outdoors is illegal in Ireland. And I came across this about on an article from the Corkman newspaper. They did a feature about... I did a report on dogging. I don't know, like, from based on the correspondence and this, there seems to... Cork people seem to have an issue with dogging. But anyway, the article said...
Cork is a hotbed for dogging.
You should send Johnny Big Balls down. He can empty them balls.
The Corkman says, according to the Gardaí, the issue of sexual behaviour in public is something of a grey area, with those who have sex in public technically not committing an offence unless the Gardaí receive a complaint about. If acts are carried out in a public place and we do not receive a complaint, then it is probably not an offence, said a Gardaí spokesperson. However, if someone does make a complaint, we will investigate, prepare a file and send it to the Director of Public Prosecutions, who will decide if an offence has been committed and if prosecution is warranted. So the spokesman said, while it's not an offence in itself, having sex in a public place could be considered lewd behaviour. So, you know, I think...
So basically, right away until you get caught.
Yeah, or just be very, very careful.
Did you guys see the couple who were broken up having sex under a blanket on Sandy Cove Beach on Tuesday?
That's what I was thinking about, yeah.
Yeah.
That was
a guard came over and had to tap them on the shoulder.
Maura, have you got an alibi?
That was not me.
No, it wasn't Maura. You can see your one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's about 100 people with their phones out and they're just trying to ride on the steps. She's got a blanket over her back like she's Batman.
I can't give any advice on socially distant dates. I don't know.
How about pucking a slither over her back?
There you go. Nothing says romance like you know, quick hands.
Yeah, into his eye. Yeah. All right, whatever.
Take it easy, because you could have been chatting online with someone for 12 weeks at this stage now, and there'd be a lot of tension, a lot of expectation. So my advice would be take it easy, and, you know, you'll have a fair amount of relationship built up after 12 weeks of talking. I wonder if it's made it easier to date people now that, like, sex is off the table and spending money on, you know, fancy dates is off the table. Yeah. You know, you have to rely on conversation. So it's an interesting social experiment. I'd love to hear what people's opinions or experiences have been on Tinder dating during lockdown.
Yeah, people, get in touch. Let us know what's your experience of Tinder dating during lockdown. My advice would be, just to end this topic, is just have a wank. It's cheaper. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast, and use the hashtag #TwoJohnniesPod, that's the number 2, to spread the good word. You can get in touch by emailing podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie, or you can just message us on Instagram. We'll find it anyway. Anywhere you put it, we'll find it. Also, you can sign up to Patreon. Just download the app. It's that easy, pure simple. Now, it's your and dirt time, where we give our highlights and lowlights of the week. Johnny B.
If you were driving to Killarney, and you went Mitchellstown, and then you turned off. Before you got to Mallow, what's the name of that village you drive through?
Kildallery.
Say it again.
Kildallery.
Yeah. Do you know how it's spelled?
KILDORRERY.
Yeah, there's no L.
Yeah.
Everybody that I know...
Kildallery.
...pronounces it with an L.
Okay.
And it does not have an L. It's called Kildallery. I was talking to somebody from Fermoy during the week.
Okay.
And they said Kildallery as well. So why does... Just if anybody from Kildallery, how do you pronounce it down there?
That's impossible. Kildallery.
Yeah.
Just sounds like you can't pronounce your R's, can you, doesn't it?
It sounds a bit mucky.
Kildallery.
Kildallery.
Okay,
so people from Kildallery, get in touch with us. What way do you pronounce your own town?
That is a legitimate dirt, yeah, in fairness, you know. My dirt is, during the week I was watching Ireland versus Holland in the 2001 World Cup qualifiers.
And in Lansdowne.
In Lansdowne Road, where Ireland won 1-0, Jason McAteer scored. Jason McAteer gets all the kudos from today. His performance, I would say, would be 6 out of 10 if I was given a rating. People don't give Roy Keane enough credit for his performance in that game. He was incredible. And people, you know, he's kind of painted with the brush of being a bit ignorant, bit, you know, a bit of a, what would you say?
Well, he's kind of a pantomime villain at this stage.
Like, people forget how good he was. So they're kind of looking at the Roy Keane that they see on television, or the Roy Keane that they heard about Saipan. And I'm just thinking, give the man some credit. That was one of the best performances I've ever seen.
Best Irish soccer player of all time?
Yeah, for me, 100%.
Was that the best performance in an Ireland jersey ever?
People are always on about Paul McGrath had a fantastic performance. Yeah. Obviously, that wasn't in my lifetime.
In your lifetime, Roy Keane against Holland.
Roy Keane against Holland. Nothing comes close to that. Richard Dunne in Moscow was very good as well when he cut his face off the AstroTurf pitch. But Roy Keane shades it for me against Holland. Give the man some credit.
I learned a little fact.
Right.
Do you know Caesar salad?
Yeah.
I always thought it was Italian.
What is it?
Well, it's not. It's named after an American lad called Caesar Cardini. So during, like, back in the 1920s in America, remember they stopped selling alcohol. It was total prohibition. Mm. Mental. So he opened a restaurant just across the border in Mexico, in Tijuana. And on the 4th of July, it was so busy, the only ingredients he had left in the restaurant was lettuce, croutons, a few bits of bacon, and
a bit of
the house dressing. And he just went outside on the board and just wrote, "Come get the Caesar salad."
Wow.
He just made it up on the spot. And instead of being like, "Oh no, we don't have enough stuff," or being like, "The house salad," it's just, I was like, fair fox to Caesar. He went out and...
Oh man, Caesar, right.
It's like, it's good marketing.
Go on, Caesar. My year to the week is pop punk. Bring back pop punk, Johnny. I know you were talking about ska. Pop punk, Blink 182, Bowling for Soup, bring it back, man. I'm listening to pop punk perfection on Spotify at the moment.
Who else do you like?
Oh man, Sum 41.
Yeah.
My Chemical Romance. I'm loving it.
They were almost emo.
Well, they're on my playlist, and yeah, that's good enough for me.
And it's bands who all talk like, "Whoa, yeah, Mom, I can't go to school today."
It's bringing me back. I feel like I'm in transition here again.
Yeah.
So I would just say, listen to a bit of pop punk this week. Give it a chance, right? Also,
I'm not done with pop punk. I love it.
What I'm loving at the minute as well is there's an Irish guy on YouTube and Facebook and stuff, Dan McCabe Music. People might have seen him. He done a cover of A Song for Ireland, Spansel Hill and stuff like that. Great voice. I'm loving that at the moment, so check that out. That would be my yard. People are always asking for Netflix recommendations as well.
There's a music one.
Yeah, there's a music one for you. Also, what? Garrett Brooks' documentary.
Check out my YouTube, Garth Brooks. Na 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 na.
Pop punk, man. Bring back spiky hair. You know what I mean? It's cool. Bring back the spikes and the spiked up fringe. That's it for this week. We hope you're keeping well. Enjoy getting out of the next phase of lockdown as well on Monday when you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah, lads. Stay safe. The news is very heavy at the minute. Everybody keep the head and be good to each other, okay?
And do the simple things right.
As the manager would say.
Do you know what I mean? Take your pints. The goals will come. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll see you next week. Do the simple things right, you know. Take your pints, the goals will come. Good luck.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.